We are looking at John chapter 1, 29 to 34, thinking about the names of Jesus. We want to just do this one last message on the names of Jesus. And this comes, of course, from the Advent study that we did together. And here, this is an interesting one. I've referred already to Jesus being the Lamb of God in previous ones. This is much after the birth of Jesus. It's about 30 years after that. And John the Baptist is giving his testimony. That's something we want all believers to be able to do, to give their testimony, to give your witness about who Jesus is to you. Your witness might be something that's just as short as a 15-second one, and if it's longer, it still relates to it. You know, this is how I used to be. Then I met Jesus, and this is how I am now. I'm not perfect, but there's a changed life. And a longer testimony just follows, if it's well-written, follows that same plan. You're going to say what you once were and how you've changed because Christ is in your life. And the person that can't say how they've changed because Christ is in their life, we're not too sure if Christ is in their life just yet. Well, what was the testimony that John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus, what did he say? And he said, Jesus is the Lamb of God. It's right there in verse 29. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now notice this is a verbal witness. Some people come up with the idea, well, I'm just going to witness by my life. Not a great idea. Nobody is going to understand what you're witnessing to unless you also open your mouth and talk. And then there's some people that are going to witness to something that they don't live themselves. It's rather hypocritical, and that also is equally ineffective. You must be able to live what you want to explain to others, but you have to explain it. So there's a verbal component that is absolutely necessary. You live it and you talk it. And that's what John the Baptist did, saying that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, a Jewish person that they understands what lambs are, they're sacrificed. They remember that in Egypt, when God was freeing them from captivity and slavery, the final plague that came because Pharaoh would not let them go. Their deal was just, can we go in the desert and worship God? And then we'll come back. And finally, Pharaoh realized God was going to drive a hard bargain and said, get out of my sight. Changed his mind, and he should not have. The death angel was going to come by that particular evening here, and God told the Jewish people to kill a lamb, put the blood around the door, and then eat meal inside. And every house that had the blood, which showed that they worshiped God, they followed God, they trusted God, that the blood would tell that death angel, and the angel would pass over. And that, of course, is remembered even to this day by Christians and Jewish people alike. But this is not the lamb that John the Baptist is talking about when he talks about Jesus. He is saying that Jesus is the lamb, not just a lamb, but God's lamb, the Lamb of God. And he takes away the sin of the world. Now, this is why I think it's very appropriate to talk about that on this evening. Here we are just minutes away from the day where we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth. We're not exactly sure what day he was born on. The calendars weren't that great back then. But this is the day we've chosen, or somebody has chosen, that we would celebrate, and it's a fine, fine time to do it. Minutes away from that, we're talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God, when he's 30 years old, be prepared for the ministry as a rabbi? Well, you see, this was his purpose. His purpose in coming that first time. We know he's going to come a second time. But a purpose in coming that first time, it might surprise a few people, was not so that we can have pretty Christmas trees and pretty wreaths and pretty flowers and pretty candles and pretty tinsel and pretty presents and delicious meals and visiting with each other, all things which I enjoy. I like them. I commend them. But that's not why Jesus came. Bethlehem was not so we could have the American commercial or American commercialism. It was so that he could take away the sin of the world. And when we celebrate commercialism, it's not Jesus' purpose. So I think it's quite appropriate minutes before the celebration gets super serious about Jesus coming at Bethlehem, that we're reminded that that was the reason why he came, that he might take away the sin of the world. He was going to be the Lamb of God, or as we said a few weeks ago, that he would be the great high priest. That was his purpose, the Lamb of God. Now, John the Baptist, this is not an actual photo of John the Baptist, but John the Baptist came baptizing people who were repenting of their sin. And apparently large crowds came to hear him. And at the altar call, so to speak, large crowds came forward. And he did a lot of baptizing of people, repenting of their sins. The next verses tell us not Jesus' purpose, but John the Baptist's purpose. Because although he was called the baptizer, that was not his critical purpose. Verse 31, so the second point is John's purpose is to reveal Jesus. This is John's purpose, to reveal Jesus. Don't take it from my summary statement. Take it from verse 31, because he says this is his purpose. He was baptizing with water, that he might point out to people who Jesus was, that he might reveal, that he might pull off the veil of who Jesus is. Now, this is fascinating because that's his purpose, and he had no idea who the Messiah was. Turns out it's his cousin. He didn't know that. Did you realize? John the Baptist did not know. How do we know that John the Baptist did not know? Because he said he did not know. And he said how he found it out. This was his purpose. And of course, in Malachi chapter 3, it says, we've talked about this before. When I was actually preaching on Malachi, I did the whole book of Malachi. My messenger. And it turns out that this is the messenger. And he came to prepare the way that others would know who the Messiah is. Now, this is coming after the baptism and after the Holy Spirit. So not everybody else was baptized. Jesus was baptized. Might I just stop for a second to urge you? If you say, I know Jesus, and you've never been willing to be baptized, why? Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he got baptized. And in many Baptist churches, they say now this person's following Jesus in baptism because they're going to do the same thing that Jesus did. It's funny, sometimes I have a lot of people who aren't Christians that want to get baptized. And I have to tell them, no, you don't get baptized. It's not like, you know, take some vitamins or something, this is going to help you. The baptism is a sign of the new heart. It's not something that you get. It's something that you're announcing to others. So I just wanted to mention that. If you've not been baptized, make sure first that you know Jesus. Make sure your life shows that you love Jesus. And then let's discuss it and see if it seems the right thing for you to do. Anyway, Jesus was baptized. And this was very, very important because after he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit appeared visibly on him. Then, point number three, the Spirit remained on Jesus. Now, remained in Jesus, but at least visibly for a while, remained on Jesus. And this is important because this was the signal that told John, this is the one. Isn't it interesting how God worked that out? Sometimes in our lives, it's that way too, because God says, go and do something, or go and go to some place, or talk to some person. And you know, this is the drift of what you're supposed to be doing and where you're supposed to be going. In 1979, I knew I was supposed to be going to Perryville. It took me three maps before I could find one that had Perryville on it. And once I found it, I could see that in the other maps, it had the Route 40 symbol covering Perryville. I think the town council should, if we still had maps, they should protest that the Route 40 symbol is more important than the town of Perryville. Perryville's larger than Northeast. Why don't we put the Route 40 symbol over Northeast? I think whoever made that map did not come from Perryville. I had no idea what was going to happen in Perryville and the great blessings that my family would receive. I just know I was to be here. And sometimes that happens in our lives. Sometimes, you know, we take a job or you go to a place or you meet a person or you talk to somebody and you don't know what's going to happen next. The great adventure that we had, we went to Mexico or Canada or Moldova or Latvia or West Africa. West Africa was a great adventure, 15 years. We had no idea how that would end up. Not a person here guessed how that would end up. Not a person here guessed it would take 15 years. And what a blessing to see such great changes. And I was certain we were supposed to be there the whole time. I was not certain about what was supposed to happen and how we're supposed to do it. Just keep trying. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. And God's going to work that out. John the Baptist was supposed to come and prepare the way for the Lord. He's supposed to baptize. You and I know what we would want. Could you tell me who it is first? Some very individualistic people might say, I'm not going to do it unless you tell me. John the Baptist knew better when talking to God. God says, I'll point him out. Okay, yes, sir. And he went and did it. The Spirit remained on Jesus, and that pointed it out to him. And so we see here in verse 33 that he said, I didn't know him. In fact, twice he says, I didn't know him. I think he wants us to know something. He didn't know him, but he did know him. And that's just reminding you and me that sometimes we're supposed to be doing stuff and we don't know the end of how it's going to go. Not doing bad stuff, not doing wrong stuff, not doing sinful stuff, but doing sweet and wonderful stuff, like bringing Rosemary Joy in here that we might see her. I've announced her presence to everybody, Karen, and now we can all see her. And we're not going to ask them to hold her up because I think that she's in a position to allow worship right now. And we're all happy for you. Happy for you, Karen. Good to see you here. Prayed. Glad things worked out so very, very well. Glad that you gave birth. As things were going, I was wondering if she's going to be like your size before you gave birth, because we're like waiting a while on this whole thing. And she was a healthy size little girl, and we're happy for you both. Thank you. I hope I didn't wake her up or something here now. And so he says, this is he. Says it twice, didn't know him, even though he's a cousin, didn't know he was Messiah. But go down later in this verse, the Spirit descended and remained. So he knew, this is he. God had said, when the Spirit comes, I don't know if he told him what the Spirit would look like. That's the one. That's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. The one that's going to bring us into the body of Christ. That's what I understand the baptism, the Holy Spirit being. I look in 1 Corinthians and I see that. That he does this supernatural that unites all of us. That's why you just can't be, look, we're not Lone Ranger Christians, are we? The pandemic tried to make us Lone Ranger Christians. But we come together. And before we ever come together, God has already done the coming together. He has made us part of the universal church, the great body of believers. And then it's up to us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to find the local church to which we're going to attend, that we might show the world that type of community that God planned the church to be. So although it was his cousin, he did not know his cousin was the Messiah, the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, I can baptize with water. Nothing very fancy there. People have been doing that for thousands of years. But Jesus, he had a special ability. Jesus and only Jesus could baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the last point, is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God, he's the Messiah, and he's the Son of God. And we know that because John the Baptist has borne witness. God told him, and he told him to tell others, prepare the way, in fact, for you and I, that we might know. This is his testimony. Now, if you're trying to find out, like, you know, is this an accurate testimony, then you investigate things historically, and it's just like in a criminal trial, a court trial. They don't have any trials of non-criminals, you know, and so you're asking, what's your testimony? What do you know? And you're going to be a witness to this whole thing. John the Baptist was the witness because God told him what was going to happen. And so he is the witness that says Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And this is written by another John, the Apostle John. And you know that there's these different records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Each one reads very differently. I can tell you, if you read Greek, you can look, they read very differently in the Greek. John, very different from Paul. And they all, fishermen write a different way than a Torah scholar. And you can see the differences coming out. You can see the difference in John. John tells us what John the Baptist said, and he keeps telling it. Not too many others come up with this. Few times, but mostly it's John. You look in John, and then you go to Revelation. Who wrote Revelation? John. And he's got there many places. If you got your notes, it's written in your notes. It's a little dark for some old eyes to see those things, but it's written there, the Lamb or the Lamb of God. We're going to worship the Lamb, or worship the Lamb of God. We're going to be in his presence. Revelation 7:17, the Lamb is going to be their shepherd. We talked about Good Shepherd recently from the pulpit. And you just look at that, and those are all the things that John tells us as he's allowed to peek into the future and see again the Apostle John, what John the Baptist said, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, because that was his purpose. And in heaven, they're going to celebrate that purpose. And that's why some of our hymns, we celebrate that purpose, that Jesus died for us. Because that was his purpose, that he might come as God's Lamb to take away the sin of the world and make a possibility that we could know God personally by grace through faith in Christ. That's what a witness does. I don't know if any of you have been a witness in court. I've been a witness in court. Witness in court, it's just simple in one sense. You just tell what you know. It's not simple in another sense because somebody on the other side of your testimony has paid a lawyer to make you look silly because they don't want your testimony to count. And I don't like that at all. If we're trying to find the truth, why do we do that? But that's the way we do it. You stand up and you tell what you know, and then they check it out to see, can it possibly be right? But that's what you and I do. When we're witnesses for Jesus, we just tell, now don't walk around and raise your right hand and put your hand on a Bible when you're talking to other people. You don't have to do that. But you're being like just a witness before a judge. You're telling what you know. Don't tell more than you know, but don't hide what you know because other people need to know who Jesus is. And so you and I are called to be witnesses like John the Baptist was. Called to be a witness as to who Jesus is. And here we are talking about witnesses and John the Baptist in court, and it's Christmas time, and yet what better time is there Did they tell the people who Jesus is? Invite them to come to church with you. And if you missed it before tomorrow, then, you know, the follow-up is a fine thing too. It's a great time of the year. And it's nice to say Merry Christmas to other people, but it's nice to be able to put things in, just slip it in. Remember Mike Crist got us that great line down in Baltimore? They were handing out water. Some of you were down there with him, I think, with our youth group. And they would give it, and we've used this at We Care Perryville and other events. When we give things out, this church never sells anything. And we give something to somebody, if it's a meal or a water or a hot dog, you know. This is a free gift from us, just like Jesus was a free gift from God. It's a fine time, and you can sneak those things in to other people in a natural way, not in a mean way, not twisting somebody's arm, but just, you know, in a natural way because Jesus is important to you. And I was talking to somebody just the other day that's close to me, and he was saying this person had come up as a woman. This one was a woman that led a couple men to Christ recently. A woman came to him, and she said, "I need to surrender to God." And then she apologized. She said, "I have laughed at you watching you say a prayer before your meal. I've laughed behind your back and made fun of you and all that, and I realized you're right." That's a great witness, isn't it? When people have looked at your life and listened to your word, and they laugh for a while, but then they turn around and say, "You know what? You're right." Pray about that, that God might help you to say those words, to live that life, that, you know, after a few months, that somebody has trusted in Jesus because of you, or maybe a few years. Certainly, you should not live your life, your whole lifetime, with nobody coming to know Jesus through your witness. It's so special. And so I just ask you right now, how about your testimony? What is it? What did you used to be like? Because you love God with all your heart and you trust Him the best as you can, how have you changed? I'm not saying, are you perfect now? I am certainly not perfect now. But if you knew me when I trusted Christ, and that was more than 50 years ago, you would see that there's been some growth. There's been some change. We need some more growth and some more change. I'm not going to take the time to tell how I was and how I've become, but how were you? And how has knowing Jesus changed you? What do others see and witness Jesus doing in your life and through your life? And then, when recently have you had the opportunity, because you're trying, to just tell somebody, you know, Jesus has made all the difference in my life. I love my God. I learn from my Bible. God answers my prayers. You should meet my church family. Everybody should have church family. We need to love each other. We need to forgive each other. We need to support each other. This is Jesus' plan. Can I tell you something about it? When have you done that last? You know, you can ask me that sometimes, and I've done it that day. You can ask me other times, I have not done it for weeks. How about you? Hopefully you've done it. Or I could ask you this, have you never received Jesus? Have you never received the new heart that comes when you trust in Jesus? And never come to the place where you understand what His purpose was. What does it mean that He was the Lamb of God? That you have sin that you're guilty of. We all know that. And He was guilty of none. And that He allowed Himself to die on a cross so He can make that great exchange. His righteousness for our sinfulness. That's a no-brainer. And if you've never had that happen, and I know people that said, "I thought I was a Christian until you told me about the new heart. And I've never had a new heart. I've never had that change in my life." God bless you. You recognize that. Now we can start talking about what the Bible says. I would encourage you, this is a wonderful night, to ask somebody that brought you or somebody nearby or talk to me. You might have come to church your whole life. This sweet little girl has come to church very early in her life, and she's going to live a different life because of that. Now's a good time to find the answers, and, you know, I'll be here. There's some elders that'll be around the front probably, and we would be glad to talk with you about that. We can't get you saved, but we can tell you what happened in our lives and what the Bible teaches. I think tonight would be a nice night for that to happen. I'd like to pray right now that that would happen on Christmas Eve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how special it is. How special it is to celebrate Christmas Eve together, church family. We thank you that Jesus came, Messiah, Son of God, great high priest, the good shepherd, God's Lamb, the Lamb of God. We thank you for that. Bless my friends and I. Father, we pray there's members of our church that can't be here tonight because they're sick. We pray, Lord, that you might bless them, that they could heal. We pray, Father, that tomorrow in all of our homes, we may have the measure of health that we need to be able to tell you that we love you, to celebrate that you came that first time, and to be kind of a little excited that you're going to come again. Father, I pray that you have challenged me and the rest of us by this testimony, the witness of John the Baptist, and thinking about the testimony of the Apostle John. I would pray, Lord, that my sisters and brothers might very soon be able to be thankful to you that we've seen another person trust in Christ by you using us. Do that, I pray. And Lord, maybe it's on Facebook Live, or maybe it's in person here, maybe it's somebody that's never been to church, maybe it's somebody that's been all their life and realizes that they're just not saved. I pray that you might help them to come to Jesus and have something really special to celebrate on Christmas Day. Well, may you be glorified by the way we respond to your word. May we be encouraged and you be glorified by the way we continue to worship you in song. And give us, after we go, Journey Mercies home and a pleasant and joyful time tomorrow. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.